Good morning. Well, I think about it. Is there anyone here who is here for the first time this morning? Okay. So if you came with a friend, you can just join them in whatever group they're in. But if not, Elisa will be standing here by the sound booth afterwards, because what we do is we meet in small groups following. And it's just an opportunity to be with other gals. We don't mean it to be anything intimidating. You're not going to be asked to share your life story or anything like that. But it's just a time that allows us to get to know each other and to pray together as a group. And so that's something I've been blessed by, just sitting in on different groups and seeing how the Lord is birthing new friendships. And it's just a special time. So if you don't have a group that you know you want to be in, then you can just stand right there by the sound booth and Elisa will direct you. Well, turn to 1 Corinthians 13 for beginners. I have so enjoyed going through this slowly. And I just feel that, as God's word is, there's always so much to see, so much that he wants to say to us. And I love how he can make even verses that we think are so familiar to us, so known by us. And he can take those verses, and when he wants to, shed a whole new light on them for us, bring a whole deeper meaning, a new revelation that we never thought of before when we were looking at it. That's what he does with his word, and I just love that. And of course, that's why it's called the living word, because it is alive. He is the word. And so I will always encourage you to have that time with the Lord in the word every day. Again, not as a got-to, not a legalistic trip you put on yourself, but it's a privilege. We can pick up the Bible anywhere, anytime, and read it in our country, and we're so blessed to be able to do that. And we need to take advantage of that and to hear what he would say to us on a daily basis, because he does want to speak to us on a daily basis. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And this morning we're going to read from the first part of verse 7. It always protects. And I have to say, as I was anticipating preparing this particular teaching, I just loved it. I just felt all good about it. I wasn't pondering if I would find things to say about it or anything else. Every time I thought, love always protects. And that just resonated within me as something that is just so wonderful. And I think it is a wonderful subject. It's one of those subjects that I think we think of as being, you know, warm and cozy. Because the whole concept of protection, it's just so sweet. It's so, so wonderful. When I think back on my childhood, that was one of the things that I saw from it is that I didn't always feel protected. I grew up in a single mom household, had a lot of time on my own, and while it didn't really register at the time, looking back on it, I realized that so much of my childhood I felt very vulnerable, very uncovered. I wouldn't have been able to identify that, but I did. And so again, maybe that's one reason the concept of being protected, that God's love always protects, is just so wonderful to me. So this morning we're going to look at various aspects of that, including we'll touch on when that protection can even be disguised. Some of us are more given to fear than others, whether it's regarding our own safety, whether as moms it's regarding our children's safety. And I just want to add, for those of you who are young mothers, it's not just while they're young. There is no age that your children get to be that you don't fear for them. I think that is just part of the package. And we could look at fear as being a feminine trait, you know, that women are more given to fear. But that isn't necessarily true. And Mark, this week, if you are going through the one-year Bible with us, you read this story, and I want to read it to you. It's Mark 4, and it starts in verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And I love that, because in 1 minute, you know, we see them and they're totally afraid because of the waves, the wind, and they wake Jesus up. And he speaks to the wind and the waves, quiets the whole storm, and it says that they became terrified. But they were terrified by, who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? You know, so that for them was even more frightening. And I think fear is a natural response when we know that we are dealing with anything that is bigger and more powerful than we are. And I would say that life falls into that category. The truth is, even in the areas where we think we have control, we do not. Things can be turned around in a moment. Things can be undone when we least expect them to happen. And so I think that fear that we have is sometimes absolutely founded. But I also feel that that is one reason why the whole concept of protection is so appealing to us. As I was praying regarding the thought of protecting and what verses the Lord would have me to share, the very first verse that came to me was actually an entire psalm, Psalm 91. And I'm sure many of you are very, very familiar with that. And again, if you'd like to turn there, please do. And I even contemplated letting my teaching be on that chapter exclusively, because it's such a wonderful chapter, and every verse is so beautiful. But then I thought, well, if I spend the whole teaching on this chapter, then all these other verses that I've been thinking about, I won't have time to share. So I decided I'll just share part of it, because it is so wonderful. Verse 1 and 2, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." And the key word there is dwells. Dwells, you know, lives with, stays with. That's what dwelling is. And it's he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. How do you stand in someone's shadow? By being real close to them, don't you? Jesus mentioned this thought also when he spoke to us in John 15, where he talks about abiding in him, remaining in his love. It's the same thought. It's when we find ourselves so aware of his presence all day long that our mind just automatically just keeps going back to him over and over again. And because our mind goes back to him, we're talking to him. We're hearing from him. It's an ongoing relationship. And that's what abiding is about. That's what dwelling in his presence is about. It's the inward manifestation of your relationship with the Lord. The outward manifestation would be perhaps you're here on Thursday. You go to church on Saturday night or Sunday. You go to Bible study on Wednesday. That's an outward manifestation, evidence that you know the Lord, you love him. But the inward is quiet. It's unseen in many ways, known only by you in many ways. And it's ongoing, every minute of every day, dwelling in his shadow. In Isaiah 26:3, one of my favorite verses, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." I'm sure every verse I share this morning will not be new to you. They may even already be highlighted or underlined in your Bible, because they're key verses. And it just shows us how everything is interconnected. Everything in our walk with the Lord works together. And I love how he does that. And the more we see it, the more we love it. The next 10 verses I am not going to read, but they just are various scenarios of all the things that can happen to us, but how the Lord protects us in them. The last 3 verses I have to share with you. I don't think you could pick up one of my Bibles and not find these verses underlined, circled, highlighted, dated, because for so many years, the Lord has spoken these verses to me, and they have brought such comfort, such a sense of his protection. Verse 14, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. There are six circles there, I think, that I have circled. Six words, rather, that I have circled, and it's will. And it's what God is saying he will do. It's not he might, or that he sometimes, but that he will do. And I love that. And it's all linked to our relationship with him. It comes out of our relationship with him. The very first word, verse 14, because, and again, I love to change he to she. I don't think that's too bad to do. But because she loves me. Now, the Lord will rescue us. He will protect us. He will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and will be our satisfaction. The Lord is so faithful. We can count on him to do all these things for us. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, we sing that, and I love that truth. If God is for us, who or what can be against us? And how we need to see our lives through that lens. So does this mean that if we're in right relationship with the Lord, that if we're dwelling in his presence, that living under his protection will mean that we're free of trials? We won't have any challenges, we won't have any diseases, we won't have any divorces, we won't have any relationship problems. There'll never be financial issues. Is that what it means? Of course, we know that no, that isn't what it means. Jesus had the perfect relationship with his Father. And yet he was not spared betrayal. He was not spared rejection, abuse, trials, suffering. So remind yourself of that, because one of the things the enemy loves to do as we go through these things is to give us this thought that God is angry with us, that somehow we've been disobedient, so he doesn't love us anymore. He might even be punishing us for whatever it is. That is what the enemy would love to do every time we go through those challenging times in life. And we need to remind ourselves it is not true. Jesus prayed a wonderful prayer for us, and it's found in John 17. And I love it because his prayer was for protection. And I'm going to start about halfway through in verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also believe in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And that verse right there is one to sometime just sit and to meditate on. I mean, what an incredible thought that he would love us as he loved Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thought? Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Verse 25, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And isn't that what we've been focusing on in this study in 1 Corinthians 13? That it's not us trying to love like Jesus loves. It's not us looking at the examples of how he loved and then thinking, okay, I need to imitate him and that my love will look like his love. If that is what this study was about, it would just be a very long to-do list, and every week the list would be longer. But it's not about that. It's about the fact that as believers, Jesus does indwell us. He does live through us. And so it's his love we want to see in our lives. It's his love we want to experience when we show compassion, tenderness, patience, kindness. When we exemplify these attributes that we see in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, that's what we desire. Jesus is the embodiment of this entire chapter, and he indwells us. What a wonderful and what an amazing thought. As I said, trials will come. And the enemy will always want to camp out on having the pervasive feeling for us that we're alone in those trials. And that's why it's so important to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, to live in his presence. Because then when that trial comes, when that diagnosis is given, when that accident happens, when a marriage is ended, when a child runs in the wrong direction, we will remember we're not going through this alone. It's not a surprise to God. We don't have to pray so that we can inform him of what's happening. We pray because we're communicating with him, something he already knows and always knew would happen in our lives. It's so important to see our trials, our difficulties, in light of his presence with us, his protection. Isaiah 43, again, if you'd like to turn there, and I always remind you that I read from the NIV, so I tell you that because I know that can be a little bit difficult if you have a different translation. But again, this is one. There's not a Bible I have that this isn't underlined. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. And I personally love to personalize it. So where it says, O Jacob, in some of my Bibles, I've put Judy or Judith. You know, just a reminder, it's to me. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Verse 14, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Over and over again, the Lord tells us in his word that he is with us. And yet, what is it that we have to be reminded of over and over again? That he is with us. And I love this too because the Lord knows that there will be those times that we're going to feel like we're going under. We are going to feel like we're walking through the flames. We are going to feel like we're drowning. We're in rapids. But he is with us, and he will protect us. We're not going through those times alone. I think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We all love that. It's a wonderful children's story, but it's a wonderful story for adults too. And I know you're all familiar with it. They refused to worship the king's god. And when they refused, it was because they loved the true and living God. And they would not compromise in their walk. And they were convinced that God could protect them. And yet, even if he didn't, they were determined to be true to him. Well, the king has them thrown in the fiery furnace. And what does the king say as he looks at them in there? Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw in the fire? But he saw a fourth man. And they were unharmed, unbound. And he said that the fourth one looked like a son of the gods. Jesus was with them in that fiery furnace. And I know when I see these many women, there are women here who right now are going through fiery trials, going through challenging times, difficulties that are way too big for you. And I'm praying that you would remember that he is with you. He doesn't just check in on you to see how you're doing and, okay, she's all right, and then he goes and he's with someone else. He is with you always. And we need to focus on that. Isaiah 41, again, underlines this. So I have to read that to you too. Now I'll start in verse 9, the second part. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. Verse 13, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Again, I don't think there is one verse that I'm sharing with you this morning that isn't underlined in all of my Bibles, because for years they have been so important to me. We're not alone. God is with us, and he will protect us. I remember a verse he gave me when I first became a single mom, and I found myself being very fearful at nighttime. You know, I'd shut off the light, and my mind would start going. And I lived in a big house, and I'd think to myself, okay, now, if there was a fire, it's just me to save them. So what would I do? And I would have a little fire drill going on in my head. Or I would think, what if someone broke into the house? Then what would I do? And there were times that I woke up with a start, sure that I had heard a noise downstairs. And I know you've all experienced this, when you're so frightened by something and you're trying so hard to listen and all you can hear is your own heart pounding in your ears. I mean, that's awful. It's like, shh, I want to hear, you know. But I remember that was actually awful. It was a terrible. I remember one night waking the kids up in the middle of the night because I dreamed that someone was in the room, and I came bounding off of my bed, yelling at this person. But what woke me up was, Mom, Mom, all these voices calling out, you know, was I all right? And it was at this time that the Lord gave me Psalm 4, verse 8. And I wrote it on a little 3x5 card, and I put it on my nightstand. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. So the last thing before I reached up to shut off the light, picked up that card, read it, and it's a matter of now, okay, so do I believe this or not? And I did believe it. Shut off the light and went to sleep. It was wonderful. I had a little story I was going to tell you, but I'm running out of time, so I can't. But it was wonderful how the Lord used that to grant me peace, to reassure me of his protection, his watching over me. I remember also reminding myself of the verses in Psalm 121, where it tells us that God doesn't slumber nor sleep. And at that same time, I also read a little story about Corrie Ten Boom, who was on one of her many, many trips. And she was exhausted, and she was by her bed, kneeling and praying, and just there were so many things she had to pray for that she was concerned about, but she was exhausted, and she stopped and she said, well, Lord, I mean, there were so many things, and you're going to be up all night anyway, so you take care of these things. I need to get to bed and sleep. But the thing I love about that story is it tells us about her relationship with the Lord. You know, was it, oh, Father in heaven, I know you are a God who doesn't slumber or sleep. Not that that's wrong to pray necessarily like that, but she was on such a personal communication level with him. And when we can talk to the Lord, not in a way that doesn't show respect, that doesn't show honor, but in a personal way, which is what he wants, it is so wonderful. He's a personal God, and he wants us to know him in that personal way. Before closing, I just want to touch on, and I know I can hardly do it, but I want to touch on the times that his protection isn't recognized as such. It's as if the protection is in disguise. I think of the times when the plans that we have are thwarted. The prayers that we've been praying are seemingly unanswered. It could be for a financial crisis. It could be for healing from a disease. It could be for a relationship to be restored. It could be for any number of things, but none of the prayers seem to be answered. We need to consider that the very fact that the prayer has not been answered might in fact be protection for us. We're so quick to think of denial as being for some other reason, when in truth it might be the perfect expression of his love. Our tendency when we're praying for these things is to chalk everything up to the enemy first, you know? It's the enemy who's thwarting our plans. Boy, he's trying to get in there. The enemy wants that person or wants me sick, and I'm not going to let him do this, you know? We tend to do that, or if we don't do it, there'll be people in our lives who do that. And that can be really, really tough to hear, as if we would get things right in our thinking, we wouldn't be dealing with this cancer. We wouldn't be dealing with this terrible financial crisis. We wouldn't be having this prodigal child or these serious marital issues. And it's not true. When any of those issues are related to us personally and our behavior, the Lord will have a wonderful, gentle way of showing us that. But we have to realize that all of those things, any one or all of them, can be in our lives. And we pray and we don't see change. And we need to consider the Lord is sovereign. He's over all and in all. And maybe it's just one of those times that we need to keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. But trusting him and considering the possibility there could even be protection. Again, if you're going through the one-year Bible with us, right now we're in Leviticus, and maybe some of you just love Leviticus, but I have to tell you, it is so tedious for me, and I'm always praying, oh God, you know, forgive me, my attitude is so bad, you know, I just want to get through it. But this week he showed me it could be taken, all the dietary laws thing could be taken as part of his protection. All of those laws had a wonderful way of protecting the people from the cultures they were surrounded by. During the bubonic plague, one out of every four Europeans died. And they couldn't get over that. The Jewish people did not match the statistics. They seemed to have this protection. And the protection was that they were following all those dietary laws found in the Old Testament. So I do love that. I mean, I feel like that was the Lord's little, you know, to me this week. And what about discipline? Think of how often discipline might, in fact, be protection. Ask any mother. Don't you discipline your child because you're protecting them? I mean, not only are you protecting them from harmful things, but the bottom line is you're protecting them from themselves. And we need to be protected from ourselves as well. And we need to remember that a mother's act of discipline is just as loving as her times of cuddling. And when we're experiencing the Lord's discipline, his love for us isn't an iota less. He loves us just as much as in those wonderful Psalm 91, 1 and 2 times when we just feel the shadow of his protection. Hebrews 12. And where did I want to start here? I guess I will start in verse 5. You have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Discipline can be God's protection in disguise. And for an adult, God's discipline may seem hard, may even seem severe. But we have to remember, his discipline is always motivated by his love, because God's love always protects. We need to ask the Lord if that expression of his love is evidenced in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your protection in our lives. And Lord, we love it when it's the warm and fuzzy kind, when you speak those tender words to us, when you comfort us, when you shelter us. But Lord, I also thank you for the times that it comes in disguise, for those times that we don't quickly recognize that your hand is still there, even in times of discipline, that you love us, that the very discipline that might seem so hard, even severe, is truly a beautiful expression of your love that when we come to see it, we'll thank you for it. Lord, help us to have more of you, less of us, so that your love, which indwells us, would flow freely in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.